Welcome to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 99, and I am Libya, your host. And this week we have long-awaited returning guests.
Hello, I'm Josh from Los Angeles, and I'm back.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Peter from West Hollywood.
All right. And Ronnie from Las Vegas.
Thank you guys for coming back. Appreciate it. This week in the news, we have House has declared that this is their final and last season, and the only thing I can say to that is thank you.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I was done. I stopped watching the show last season, and I'll probably watch the finale, and that's about it. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't watched this season out of protest because of what happened with Lisa Edelstein, and from what I understand, I haven't missed anything.
That's exactly what I did. Well, that, I was upset with happened to her, and I was angry about, they basically allowed House to become like a murderer. Well, he attempted murder, and then they slapped him on the wrist and made him a doctor again. I'm like, are you kidding me? That doesn't happen. Anyway, so I was very upset about that turn of events. I don't mind House being a little crazy, but when you get to the part where he's homicidal, then you need to lock him in a nice padded room.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I could rant about that forever, so let me go on to the next piece of news. Also on Fox, found out that Bones is returning April 5th, and the show Finder is going away to have its fate decided. I'm not sure what the ratings were for Finder, or what the but I don't think it was as big of a hit as they wanted it to be. But Bones is definitely coming back, and Finder's going on hiatus. And I never watched that show at all. Okay. The other thing I want to say is that Walking Dead is coming back Sunday. But by the time you hear this podcast, it probably would have already been on. So
yes.
All right. So let's. You guys have any news? No news?
Nothing? Nope.
Silence is when the whale swallowed Jonah. All right. First up, let's talk about Downton Abbey, and I would like to say that I am watching the show, but I'm still in first season, so I am still behind, and I will go to my nice, quiet, silent place while you guys discuss season two. Go forth.
All right. Well,
I just started watching Downton Abbey maybe 2 weeks ago, so I started with season one, and I went through that really fast, and I'm almost caught up on season two. And, I mean, yeah, it's totally my favorite show. I just, I love the characters. I love the pace. I mean, it's a light show. I mean, it's not the kind of show that, like a Breaking Bad or Mad Men where it's, like, kind of heavy and stuff. But I just really like tuning in. I just really like spending time with the characters. And season two seems so far from what I've seen, because, Josh, I know you said you finished it. Season two so far seems to mostly be focused on World War One and how that affects the characters in Downton Abbey. I like season two so far, although I have to say, personally, I think I actually think I might like season one a little better, but I mean, it's kind of splitting hairs. I mean, because I still love the characters and stuff. So.
I'm with you there. I sort of felt that season two in its entirety is a little too scattered. There are certain plot lines that come in unexpectedly and then disappear just as quickly, and it wasn't quite as cohesive as I felt season one was. And I love the whole concept of, like, World War One comes to Downton Abbey and how everybody is dealing with, like, sort of the world modernizing itself around them.
Yeah, I like that too.
Like, I think that's, like, best demonstrated in the character of Sybil, who I have to say is probably one of my favorite characters in the whole show.
Yeah, no, I like Sybil too. She's pretty, I mean, honestly, you know, Downton Abbey is such a weird show. It's really most shows I have favorite characters. I mean, obviously I love Bates, you know, but, this is a weird show where it's really more, which, you know, because obviously this show goes back and forth with the other people, you know, with these people's lives, this servant class and the master class and everything. But for some reason, it's really more of a show where it's more like it cuts to somebody and I'm like, they're okay. I mean, I'm not super invested in Thomas or O'Brien, who are kind of the villains kind of the show. But in general, I pretty much enjoy everybody. Oh, you know what? He's gets on my nerves sometimes. But
who does?
Daisy.
Yeah, I mean, I like Daisy, but like, and I sort of feel sorry for her in a way because she's just sort of being tossed back and forth in like this, in this relationship that she has absolutely no control over. And so there's a part of me that feels sorry for her, but then there's another part of me that is like just screaming at her, just speak up, say something, take a stand for God's sake.
Like, yes, I would agree. Yeah, I do. I feel that way too. Absolutely.
I have a question for you guys. So as I am in season one and I'm not like stuck per se, I feel a weird kind of pressure because everyone on the podcast is watching it, so I feel like it's my duty to watch the show. So versus doing it, watching it for pleasure. So it's kind of weird for me, but what would you tell me about this is why you have to keep watching? Like, you know what I mean?
Well, I personally enjoy it just because it's sort of this fascinating look at a world that really no longer exists, and it's kind of like watching it transition from this more archaic sort of Victorian Edwardian type of sensibility to a more modern 20th century sensibility. And it's like, it's kind of like Mad Men in that way, where it's like sort of watching the transition of the old into the new,
but in a different age. Okay, I got
you. I would say that's about, yeah, I would say that's right. But, you know, also, it's very much an idealized version of, like, I mean, only in a show like Downton Abbey are the, you know, the master, you know, the Lord Grantham, you know, who you already know, you know, Olivia. Yes. I mean, he's almost kind of like a, he's almost like a Leave It to Beaver TV dad. I mean, he's, because
he really is, like,
everything around him, he's completely unaware of, and when he gets upset, 5 seconds later, he's like, oh, I apologize, Bates, I've gotten out of line, you know, like, but I love that, but in real life, I'm like, yeah, that's probably not how it was back then.
Yeah, like, there are certain instances, and I don't know how far along the show is in America, so I don't want to accidentally spoil anything, so I'll be very vague, but there is something that happens in season two that really, like, gets under Lord Grantham's skin and, like, really, really upsets him, and everybody's terrified that he's going to really just destroy everything, or he's going to stop this from happening. And everything seems to be pointed at that for, like, for a few episodes, and then finally, like, almost, like, kind of randomly, he comes around, and it's like, nah. There would have been more resistance, I think, or he wouldn't have caved as easily as
it's
he
interesting because I'm pretty sure I know what you're talking about. It hasn't happened on what I've seen, but there's a huge thing that he doesn't know about. So I'm assuming it's what you're talking about, but I'm not going to say too much.
There is that, but that's something else.
Oh, okay, all right.
Let's wrap this one up. All right, next up is House of Lies, and this week I find that I'm the only one who watched it. But I want to talk about it really quick because they did something interesting, which is the son, and I can't remember his name, the kid's name, but he has this idealized version of his mother. And what you realize is that Don Cheadle has managed to kind of protect his son from what his mother's really like. Because he always talks about the mom being like this drug addict narcissist, and but the kid absolutely loves his mom, and he has no idea that she's like that at all. But what happens in this episode is the grandfather has to go somewhere and he hires a nanny, but then the mom shows up and is like, because her vacation somewhere got canceled, and she feels like, well, I'm his mom, I should be able to babysit him or whatever. And so he spends the whole episode with her, and the kid comes to realize that his mother is crazy. Not just crazy, but like a complete narcissistic, just like she's insane. She takes him, like, the reason she didn't go on her vacation because her boyfriend decided to take his wife instead of her. So she figures that he owes her money. So she goes and breaks into this dude's house and starts stealing stuff and takes her son with her.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, this is wrong. We're breaking into somebody's house. And she's like, it's not breaking in if I have the alarm code. And he's like, the kid's like, I really think it is, you know? And so she steals like a really expensive piece of art from his wall and a dress and some other stuff. Cause she's like, I want to steal enough to be worth the vacation he should have given me, which is like $10,000. So she steals like $10,000 worth of stuff from the dude's house and then takes it back to his house and then starts destroying the art and all this other stuff. And she's saying all this crazy stuff to him. And she says something to him like, do you know, she's like, all the stuff I did for him. He's like, you know what a golden shower is? And I was like, oh my God. Oh. And the kid is like, it's like when you go in the sunshine and it's raining. And she goes, oh, that's so sweet. And I was like, oh my God. It's just like, so she's telling him just like crazy stuff. And then he's like, you know, I need to go to bed. And she's like, why do you need to go to bed? He's like, well, it's 3 o'clock in the morning and I have to go to school. And she tries to talk him into staying up with her. And he, only because he's responsible, he goes to bed and he wakes himself up in the morning and he tries to get her to take him to school, but she's so hungover that she can't even stand. And he's like, I'll take a cab, you know? Wow. And what's great is the best scene is at the very end. When Don Cheadle comes home after whatever the case was, it wasn't really that important. And he comes home and his son just kind of curls up in his lap. And you just can tell that he really appreciates his father now. And that was just a really, really good, it was really good touching moment. That's all. The only reason I wanted to talk about it. I was like, yeah, that's all right. Cool. Okay, done with that. Let's talk about some new shows. First up is Smash. What do you guys think? Okay.
I liked it.
I liked it too. I don't think it's the best show ever, but I liked it. Yeah.
I've seen a lot of my friends on Facebook and Twitter just like already starting the, oh my God, this show is the best show on TV rants and all that stuff. And
really? Best show on TV?
I am not going to go that far at all. Like I like it. I think the concept is interesting. I already have my theories of where this is going to ultimately end up from the very first episode. But I like the Broadway aspect of it. I like the music. The music is all original, like show tune style songs, which I really liked. But I'm hesitant to get too into it just because I was burned on Glee and I don't want to have that happen again.
well, the tone is very different though. I mean, I don't think
it is. Yes.
Right, and actually, I like the musical notes, how they go in and out of, like, sort of being, like, in costume, like, when the women are singing back and forth, and just bringing that element into it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be the Debbie Downer on this one, and I was bored out of my mind for, like, the first 20 minutes, but I will say that once you started getting into some of the bigger numbers towards the end, that they were really good. Like, they were really well-done numbers. But I find I don't care. Like, I don't care who the Maryland thing, like, who gets picked for Maryland. I think that the whole guy, the director guy, was such a jerk. And then he calls one of the girls, like, 10 o'clock at night. And she's all surprised that he wants sex and all. I was just like, really? It's just like, all of it just was so tired.
Yeah, I was the same way. I was like, come on, it's 2012. Are we really still this naive?
Right. And I just, no. I can't watch the show. I'm out. Like, I watched the pilot. I watched the pilot, but I have no intention of watching anything else. So that's just, I mean, and like I said, I do like musicals. I love musicals, but it was, they didn't grab me with this.
Right. I feel like there's too much else like sort of on my plate, so I won't probably continue watching it, but I did enjoy it. And I think it did pick up, it did start off really slow, but again, it's a pilot, so you got to like know who these different people are, you know? And so I gave it a little bit, but I don't think it's going to be one that I continue to watch either, just because it's not interesting enough for me to keep going with it.
Right.
That's, I mean, for me, I'm curious about the process, and I like Deborah Messing, you know, so I haven't seen her in something in a long time, so that's kind of nice to see her on a show again. So I'm definitely going to keep watching.
Okay,
I'm with Peter on this. Yeah, I'm gonna keep with it, and unless it like jumps the shark like horribly, I think I'll probably end up sticking with it.
All right, well, you guys will be the ones in charge of keeping me informed, and let me know if it turns well. You already like it. I was going to say turn a corner. That's not really going to help me. But, yeah, you guys keep track. Do for the cast. All right. next up, we're going to talk about The River. And when I say we, I mean Peter and Josh.
Hated it. Oh, God, this show is terrible.
Yeah, I like Paranormal Activity, and it's the director of Paranormal Activity. And in general, like, I'm a big horror fan. And I had never seen the trailers, but I'd seen the billboard on my way to work when it's just like a rainforest and some eye, and it's like The River. And I was like, oh, I'm looking forward to this. And
yeah,
I didn't even get through it, actually. I probably watched about half of the first hour. I'm not against doing a found footage. Although Chronicle is fantastic, but I mean, I think the found footage genre is getting a little tired, but I'm not really against it. What bothered me was more, I really thought the performances were just like bad soap opera or bad CW. Like they weren't
it
that.
It really was.
Yeah, they weren't like, if you watch The Blair Witch Project or Clerks, which is made with no money, well, yeah, they're not really actors, you know, they're not really good actors and they could be annoying. But there's a quality about that. This was more like, well, I think these are actors, but they're just so bland and bad and everything.
Every conversation they had just felt scripted.
Yes.
That was the hard part to get past. And like, as I'm watching this, like, all I could think was there is no need for this type of show to be found footage, because it's very heavily narrative, and it's very heavily, like, lots of different characters are doing lots of different things, and so when you try to do all of that as a found footage thing, what you end up having is a lot of different angled security cameras and a lot of, like, ridiculously placed cameras that have no reason to be placed where they are recording all this stuff.
All right, let's wrap this one up. I don't think it deserves a really lengthy discussion, so thumbs down for The River.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was terrible. I'm out. I'm not watching any more of this.
No, I'm out. Yeah, I'm out too.
All right. Next up, let's talk about Castle. And this was a really kind of fun episode where Castle finds his diary and he imagines himself as one of the characters in the diary and Beckett as his lover in the diary, which is pretty funny. So they get, basically all the actors get to put on the costumes and pretend to be, you know, in the 40s. But then they actually
not,
have
not
a good...
Not just like 1940s, but 1940s film noir, which is so fun.
Right, and so they had a... You could tell they all had a really good time doing it. And it was entertaining to watch. And there was that sad moment where you thought that their characters actually got killed in the fire. And I was like... Because they were like imagining that they lived happily ever after. It's like, nope, they burned to death. And you're just like, aw.
Yeah. Which I was like, okay, that's an unexpectedly dark turn in this fun episode.
But yes. And then you the daughter, she gets to play a really bad guy. It's kind of interesting.
And she did it so good. I was like so happy that she was able to do that.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Ronnie? Go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, no, I agree too, because she always, you know, the daughter's always like sort of the good one. So it's nice that she had a chance to be like the, you know, sort of the bad one in this particular story.
Yeah, she was pretty evil. It's great.
Excellent. And I mean, we can't not mention Mark Pellegrino is the mob boss in this.
Yes. I have great love for that man. He needs to be more
I love
stuff.
This guy so much. He can do no wrong in my eyes.
Though he didn't, because he played the mob boss and he played his own grandson.
Yeah.
So his grandson was kind of a wimpier version of himself, but
it was still cool. Like, he still did it well.
Yeah, of course. So yeah, I thought it was a good episode overall. I enjoyed it. The current day case was everything was about finding the butterfly.
Yeah.
So
it wasn't the murder in the present day that linked it to what happened back in the 40s.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was all about the butterfly, and then they find the butterfly in its costume jewelry. I was like,
yeah, that was awesome. it's like how many people died over how many years for this thing?
I know, it's awesome.
And so, the thing is a twist at the end too, like you said, because, you know, they make it so that you think that the two lovers in the 40s actually died, but actually that you got to meet them, and they were actually, you know, I mean, it's always neat that Castle and Beckett got to meet the real people, you know, the story was about.
Right, and then they decided to let them go. Aw. But
yeah.
All right, thumbs up, Castle. Good episode.
Yay.
Yep.
All right, next up, we want to talk about Lost Girl for the first time in a couple weeks.
Yay! I, you know what? I'm really enjoying this series. Just, it's fun, it's light, and it's just what I need right now, you know? And in this episode, we get to find out, and I actually, because I don't know a lot about fairies, I have to admit, I did, you know, haven't done a lot of, you know a lot of stuff about fairies. So it's kind of fun learning about all these different types of fairies. And this week, we found out about the Fury and what...
Oh, right, the three sisters.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. And I also like the insinuation that, what's her name? Bo. I like the insinuation that Bo thinks she's pretty powerful, but because she has no training, she's not anywhere near as powerful as everybody else. So they were like, yeah, you still got your training wheels on. And I was like, oh, that means she can get trained to be more awesome. That's great.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, and I love Dyson. That man, he is like very incredibly sexy. And I don't know what there is about him, but so I just love how now, like, sort of between him and Bo, there's, you know, he's been told to sort of back off, but yet there's still that spark.
Right. I would say on the surface, looking at him, he's not particularly attractive, except that you're right. He is very sexy, and I can't tell you why.
Yes.
But there you go. But I do like, they started the whole pairing off, which is weird because normally they have the whole tension and it takes forever for the two characters to get together. They had them sleep together in like the first episode, and now it's all about they got to keep them apart because it's messing up his judgment. But I think his judgment was messed up by them trying to keep him apart. He was very tense, very angry.
But so, it's also something with, you know, sort of like this divide between the fairies, because the one fairy who like tends the bar, but he, you know, has the bigger part.
Right.
He was the one who said, you know, no, you need to back off because of who she is.
Right. And of course, they haven't told us who she is. Ugh.
Right.
That's so frustrating. But yeah, I think it's a fun show with an arc that you want to know what happens next.
Yes, you know. And her sidekick is so funny.
I really like her. What is her name?
Kenzie.
Yeah, I really like Kenzie. I think she's a lot of fun. Though yes. I think she's a little more cavalier with how dangerous the situation is than she's acknowledging. Like, Kenzie is basically only has protection because she's considered Bo's human. The second correct. That they don't think that carries enough weight, Kenzie's like dead. So that's real, or somebody's food.
Exactly.
So I really think that's interesting too. So, thumbs up. Love the show. All right.
Same here.
All right. Let's go on to the next show, which is Alcatraz.
This was a really good episode this week. I agree.
Yes.
Like okay. we got a lot more insight into her grandfather and her uncle and what their whole story is, and we get like. And also, this is the first time that a 63 comes back who isn't a convict.
Right.
Which was a really interesting twist on the idea.
But obviously, somebody gave him a mission. So you're like, who the heck are these people who gave him the mission? And everybody's lying to everybody. And
so now we now have the doctor and the guard, right? So we have two people who've come that aren't prisoners, right?
Well, the doctor didn't come through. She's just been there.
Yeah, she's just there. We don't really know her.
Well, how is she not aged?
We don't know.
That's right.
Because
yeah, was she 63 or was she just there?
Yeah, we don't know what the deal is with the doctor. The only person that we know that came through, and she's not on the board. Because
is she still in a coma at this point?
Yes.
Yeah, I think she's still in a coma.
Okay.
Yeah, I think she's in a coma. I agree. I think she's still in a coma.
Yeah, like you said,
it is possible that she is a 63, and Samuel is just sort of keeping that from everybody.
Right, but we don't know why or what's, and we don't know who this think tank of guys that are hanging out in this room doing work for Sam Neill's character. We don't know who these guys are or why they're there. Like, there are a lot of unanswered questions, but this week did give us some answers. We know that the uncle has one is he's her real uncle. And also
it shows us that Becca was not sort of chosen at random.
Right.
Like, it wasn't an accident that she got involved here. Like, she actually plays a big part. And I actually really love the speech that she gave Sam Neill at the very end, where she's like, I just realized you need me a lot more than I need you.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
Peter, what did you think? Because you just started watching Alcatraz.
Yeah, actually, I missed an episode. So I've seen, have there been four that have aired, or five?
It's about like five or six, actually.
I think this is five, yeah.
I think it's five. Because
I think the one right before it, Olivia, you had told me wasn't that great. You said it's like one about, it's like a robbery guy.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I missed that episode, but I've seen all the rest of them. I really like Jorge Garcia. I like the lead, the blonde girl. The only thing that I like her. Like, she's got presence. I like her chemistry. I like the way she's antagonistic with Sam Neill. The only thing is, I don't quite believe she's a cop, like, which is kind of strange. Like, if she was on the show and she's like a consultant or some other weird thing, I think I'd be fine with it. But for some reason, every time she has a gun, I'm always like, I don't know if I really buy that. Like, it's not a huge deal, but just a pet peeve.
I understand. And, like, one of the things that I kind of find is a little, like, they're stretching a little too much is Jorge Garcia's character as this sort of walking Alcatraz encyclopedia.
I agree.
Like whenever they show a picture of somebody, he's always just immediately like, oh, that's that guy.
Well, that's what they actually explained that. They said that 10,000 hours studying a subject makes you an expert, and he spent 20,000 hours studying
Alcatraz.
Oh,
right, Sam Neill does.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's why he knows it.
I find it funny.
Ronnie, go ahead.
I was going to say, I find it like a little bit too much that he knows each and, you know, sort of every one of these. When you figure like you're studying Alcatraz, how many, you know, hundreds of people, you know, could he have looked at? But he knows, you know, like he sees a picture and boom, I know exactly this person's story.
Well, I mean, it's like he's a geek. He's an Alcatraz geek. Think about how many TV shows you know and every detail you know about it. So it's the same, it's the same kind of thing. It's just applied to a different subject. So, yeah, I get it. I'll buy by that.
Okay, I see your point, yeah.
All right,
okay,
so
I'll accept that.
thank you. So let's wrap that up. So thumbs up, Alcatraz.
Thumbs up for this one, yeah.
Thumbs up.
Next up, I want to talk about the 200th episode of NCIS really quick. I know that I am alone in the wilderness watching this show as well, but the only reason I feel like I need to talk about it is because for their 200th, they did something really bizarre and surreal, but really good. It's like they basically have Gibbs go up against, like, he's having breakfast and someone tries to kill him, and they stop the bullet like right before it hits him, and his life like literally flashes before his eyes. Like, they have all these flashbacks of everything that's happened since he was born to now, and then he's like in this cafe talking to all these people. Some of the people are alive, like people that he knows, and some of the people are people who have died. And he's kind of like, so am I dead? And he gets to talk to his dad. He gets to talk to all these people. We get to meet his mom for the first time, because his mom died when he was in his mid-20s, 30s. So we've never seen his mom. We've only heard him talk about her. So it's weird. They cast this younger woman to play Gibbs's mother, but they sold the mother-son relationship really well. And then they present it like this alternate future where if Gibbs hadn't done certain things, then this is how his present would look. So it was kind of interesting. Like, they were like, what if you turn right instead of left? And it's weird because it was like, that's a very science fiction episode to have for an NCIS episode. And so actually, it, like, for the first 5 minutes, I was like, what am I watching? Like, I had to, like, remind myself what the heck show I was watching, because it was so different than what they normally do. But for their 200th, they were like, okay, we're going to do something special. And I think they did. And by the time you get to the end, you might conclude that maybe one or two of Gibbs's choices might have been wrong and his life might have been a little bit better. But generally speaking, I'd say his life is exactly the way it's supposed to be.
Mm. Well, I'm sure that's probably what their intention was.
Right. Yeah, it was. But I thought it was a very good and very different episode.
And that's cool. And like, I'm not really all caught up on NCIS or watched a great deal of it, but that's one of the things that I do like about that show, is that, yes, it's a procedural, but they're not afraid to do something that's a little skewed differently every now and then.
Right. Right.
I've always appreciated that about this show.
So I'm going to say thumbs up for that, okay, for this week's episode. It's been a while since they've had a really good episode, and I think this one was it.
Okay, cool.
All right, next up, Let's talk about Justified. Go for it.
Great.
Why was it great, Peter?
Well, I just watched the last 2 weeks back to back, but I'm so impressed with how funny Justified is, because, you know, if I haven't watched it in a few weeks, I was just like, oh, this show is just so, it's just so funny and everything, you know, and tense. I mean, season two had Mags Bennett, Margot Martindale, and she was fantastic. And I've been wondering this season, I'm kind of like, well, how are they going to top that villain? And what they've been kind of doing is they've been kind of giving us a few villains, all men, right now, and they've all been pretty impressive. The guy, Neil, what's his last name?
McDonough.
Neil McDonough.
Yeah.
He's great, like me.
Yeah,
he's fantastic. And then the guy who you, Olivia, you said he was on Forrest Gump, Bubba Gump Shrimp.
Yeah, he was Bubba.
Yes. He's great, too. And but the big, I mean, the big turning point of the episode is really more the end. The big thing is actually not to do with Raylan. The big thing was that Boyd's secondhand idiot, you know, gets taken in by Neil to join him, and he tries to, of course, to overtake
Boyd.
And of course, that backfires.
Boy, that was so good.
Oh, it was fantastic. And what was really great to me was that, I mean, in the whole episode, this guy is basically like, you know, the Boyd Crowder that was a leader to me, that's not the guy that we're with anymore. And it's interesting to me that I'm like, yes, but you've kind of, by doing what you've done, you've made Boyd back into that guy, but it'll cost you your life.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
right. Yes.
Like, and he had that whole scene, like, at the end, and like, the whole time I'm thinking, oh, man, you are not going to go up against Boyd like this and live to walk out that door. It's just not going to happen.
Ronnie, do you watch Justified?
Oh, yes.
What'd you think?
And I loved it too, because, and again, sort of like how Peter was saying, I really liked the writing of it, especially because it's so funny at times, but it's very ironic, and at the same time, it's very tense. And so I just love, I mean, Justified is actually one of my favorites just because of how well it's written.
This week's episode, I would say, was really good because I liked how Dickie Bennett realized that he was way in over his head really quickly. And so his big solution is, you know what? You keep the money, I'll go back to jail. You know, because that's pretty much the safest place for him right now.
Yeah. The one smart thing Dickie ever did.
Yeah. He was like, I'm better off in jail than being out here with you crazy people, everybody trying to kill me and all of that. But one other thing we guys didn't mention is at the very end of the episode, you have the town idiot, Crow?
What's his name?
His thing is he's about to be cut open by the faux doctor.
Right.
And so you don't know his fate. And I mean, I don't like him, but because he's so dumb, I sometimes feel bad for him.
Yeah.
You know,
I see that.
Well, they showed a bit more of what happens to him in the preview for next week.
Right.
And it looks intense.
Yeah. It's all about him, which I don't think he's ever had an episode that's all about him.
And it should, it looks good. I'm hoping that it lives up to what we saw in the preview.
Yeah, I agree. Right. So
it was also nice to have a little cameo from the girl from last season. She killed her father, and now to see that I forgot what the girl's name is, but that she's moved on, you know, and is doing well.
Well, she's babysitting a bunch of snot-nosed other kids. I don't know if she thinks she's doing well, but yeah.
Well, no, she's handling it good.
Yeah, handling guys. Probably that's a better way to say it.
Yes, yes. All right.
What's that character's name?
I can't remember
her name.
It's not Winona, because that's the other girl.
No,
Loretta.
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 Yes, good call, Peter.
Yeah, Loretta. She's great. Yeah.
All right, so thumbs up for Justified.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so next up is White Collar. And this week's episode, it was...
Well, this was the violin episode.
Yeah, it was Neil's ex. He has to go work for his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, he has to go work with Sarah again, and there's all this tension between them, and she's investigating her boss.
Right, who she's dating.
Who she's dating, and it was a fun episode. I don't think it was as fun as last week's, which was the one with L.
Right. The problem was... they're really good episodes is when they use everybody. Like, it's a big ensemble, and those are the best episodes. But this week, well, first of all, I might be in the minority, but I've never liked Sarah. So bringing her back just seemed like a dumb idea for me. I was like, oh, it's you again?
I never cared for Sarah either way. I was just really kind of ambivalent about her. So to have an episode that was all about her was kind of like...
Yeah, exactly. But I did like the fact that Peter's character had to deal with his in-laws. And his father-in-law is like a psychiatrist and just stares at him all day. Like that.
And
that
he's played by Tom Skerritt, which is great. I thought it was good to see him again.
Yeah, all of that was all really pretty good.
And the thing I loved was like how Mozzie is like trying to like distract him by just like spewing out all this insanity. And then at the end, the father-in-law is just like, I like him.
Yeah, that was all good. That was great. So, but I think the main plot was kind of blah, but the secondary was a pretty good story. So
it was more fun, yeah.
All right, so next up, let's talk about Modern Family. And it was their non-Valentine's. Normally they do a Valentine's Day episode, but this time there wasn't exactly one. It was just Greg Kinnear kissing people.
Yeah, but which was fun.
Yeah, it was a really funny episode, I thought.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I actually, to be honest, I have not loved this season of Modern Family like I do the first two. I still love the show, but this one I thought was pretty good. Actually, my favorite part was part of the episode is that Mitch and Cam are staying at Jay and Gloria's. I think their house is being fumigated or something like that.
Right.
And so part of it is that Cam and Gloria don't quite get along as well as they wish they were. And so you've got Manny who's trying to be sly to try to like get them to work with each other. And at the end of the episode, they're in a kitchen and he's moved everything around to make it more efficient. And I think at the same time, like, she's playing music and there's this whole sequence where it all feels like it's one take. I don't know if it really is one take, but it all feels like it is. And they're just in really good sync and everything. And I just really loved it. Like, it was just awesome.
Yeah, it almost felt like a dance the way they were moving around.
Exactly. Right.
And it was great.
Yeah.
I like the fact that they are such the women of the show. Like, either they're getting along really great and they want to hang out, or they're really snippy at each other and they're jealous. So it's stereotypical, but it's fun. Cam makes that believable. So
definitely. I liked the stuff with Phil. It wasn't quite up to what I was hoping or what I always expect from Phil, but they did have the one line at the end of their whole thing when Claire starts laughing at Greg Kinnear's jokes, and finally Phil is like, "This is too much. I can't take it," and they walk out. Just like this one brief exchange between them just had me on the floor when he's storming out and he's like, "Look at you. You were laughing in there like it's who's on first." And she goes, "What?" And he says, "No, he's on second. Don't try to cheer me up." And I died.
That was good. Yeah.
Next up, let's talk about Big Bang.
And speaking of unfunny.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I really think Big Bang has worn out its welcome for me. I'm tired, you know. I really think Sheldon's become Bart Simpson. He's all just a bunch of goofy one-liners now, and like, I don't know, man. Last season worked at least because they introduced all the women characters, which I liked. I was like, okay, this brings a new fresh mix to things. But really, this season, except for the one a few weeks ago where Raj had his relationship with the iPhone, with the Surrey,
yeah.
Like, besides that, I'm just bored out of my mind with this show now. I can't even remember the last time I really laughed. I mean, this episode was lame. I didn't care. I'm almost done with
the show. It wasn't the best.
I'm not going to go that far. I didn't find this episode to be as fun. I was hoping for more with, like, Sheldon being so out of water, having to go on vacation, and it never quite really got to where I was hoping it would go.
Right.
Yes.
I just feel like we were just talking about Modern Family, which is probably the best comedy on television. And then, you know, and I was a huge fan of Big Bang Theory, but I can't for the life of me, like when we were just talking about that thing that was almost like a dance, you know, on Modern Family, I can't think of anything like that on Big Bang. I'm not like, just, I don't find the stuff that clever or anything.
Well, Ronnie had a comment. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, no, it's like, I was going to say, it's like, yeah, it wasn't the best. I mean, there were moments, you know what I mean? But overall, you know what I mean? Especially the A storyline. I like the B storyline, especially about the prenup. And especially when Bernadette started talking about her father in the car, and it's like, oh yeah, don't worry, it's easy to get along with, you know, just a couple of warnings about my dad.
All right, and don't tell him you're Jewish.
I was like, oh, how's that gonna work? And he's like, oh yeah, I'll have my conversation with him in May. And he's like, you mean when you're gonna be on the Space Center? I was like, yes. It's like, yeah, that sounds safer.
Like, they have a phone.
I also like when Penny and was in the bar talking to the two guys and saying,
yeah, I was just about to bring that up, yeah.
That was really good. And when she said, to, you know, who was it that she said? And she said, you know,
she talked to Howard, and she's like, you cannot lose her. If you lose her, you will never get anybody again. Trust me, we had a meeting.
Right.
That was awesome.
Yeah, all the women have had a meeting, and we've decided this is it for you.
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty good. So
As far as like the Sheldon storyline goes, the best moment for me was when like he's trying to apologize to Amy and he has to do like four attempts.
Right, because he sucks at that. Right, and that's true. And that makes sense because he's not used to feeling like he needs to apologize to anybody.
Yeah, he's like, Amy, I'm sorry that you wrong.
Yeah, all right. So, thumb sideways, apparently.
I'm giving this a thumb sideways, yeah.
Okay. All right, so next up, let's talk about the Valentine's Day episode of 30 Rock.
Which I just watched, yes.
Me too, I just watched it also.
Yeah.
It's overly long because that had to be an hour, but I thought it was a good episode. I still liked it.
It was an hour?
Yeah, I really felt it drag. Even though I liked it, I really was just like, man, this is a long episode. And then I was like, oh, it's an hour. That's why.
It did feel longer than I was used to, but
I didn't realize it was an hour. I really didn't.
I didn't think it was an hour. I thought, okay, this is, I thought it was just like a draggy episode. I didn't realize it was an hour long.
I did. I have to say the whole Alec Baldwin's character is Jack. Thank you. Jack and his mother-in-law, for some reason, I know it's really, really wrong, but I totally wanted them to get together. Like, I know it's wrong.
Too, even though it's like, it's the worst thing in the universe if that were to happen.
Right. But because I've never liked his wife. That's part of my problem. I didn't like his wife in the first place. And I was like, his mom is way more interesting. And also,
sexual tension was really funny.
Right. That's true, too. And also, I like that they kept talking about how they were more age appropriate. Because I was like, yeah, they look like a couple.
Yeah.
And I never thought that Jack and his wife looked like a couple. Anyway, so yeah, I was like, go for the mom! But I like that storyline a lot, and the IKEA bit was pretty funny.
I like that too.
I love the IKEA employee, the really guy. I love his first line. What does he say, like, silence fools. I mean, welcome to IKEA.
No, silence prisoners.
Silence prisoners, yes.
Right. So he's like, you shall never leave. Right. And I was like, I've been in an IKEA and I haven't had that much problem in an IKEA. Though I do admit, once you go in, you really don't, like, it's really hard to leave because there's so much stuff to look at.
There is, yeah. So I mean, I really laughed. At the one point where James Marsden is like sort of flips on the guy who is like walking too close to him.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, that's happened to me in IKEA before.
Well, IKEA really does have that weird thing when you're trying to just get out of there to the warehouse and you feel like everyone's even though IKEA has the illusion of being a big room, you know, like a department store.
It's like
everyone's
a maze.
Moving in that same fashion. I totally have that too. Yeah.
It's like a maze, and there are various distinct walkways that kind of lead you kind of in almost a circle. It's bizarre, but anyway.
Right.
Yeah, it takes you through it, and there are like little ways that you can sort of cut through departments. Like,
and we're totally off subject, by the way. But
now we're talking about IKEA.
This is our special IKEA episode.
You know, one thing that did occur to me, I was like, Does everyone have IKEAs, or is it only New York and L.A.? Like,
no, everyone has IKEAs.
Not everyone.
I don't think so.
Everyone in Vegas.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty. We didn't have any in the Midwest, so I was just like, "That's so weird." Anyway, we're done with IKEA. We're done. We're gonna move.
Okay, we're gonna move on.
Podcast about flags. I think we should start a new podcast just about IKEA.
All right, let's move on to Vampire Diaries.
The mother episode.
Yes. I thought, you know, when you said the mother episode, I was thinking like you were saying like the mother load. And I was like, yeah, a lot of stuff happened. I was like, oh, you meant the mother. Okay. All right.
I've already had that spoiled for me, so don't worry.
So go, Ronnie, you go first this time.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was just a chance for the, because the main thing was this big ball that they were having. For, and the originals were the Mickelson family.
Michelson
or whatever. Yeah. So they're having this big ball, really as a chance to kind of reclaim, you know, sort of being back in the world.
Right.
But then what we find out is that the mother, you know, who was the witch that originally made them all vampires, she really has in her mind that she's got to, you know, she sees them all now as an abomination and needs to kill them. And so the ball is a way to have them first to start with a spell where they all need to drink some of the doppelganger's blood. To bind them all together.
Right, and then she's going to rip them all apart. But yes. Because I think Peter said something to me about he didn't know if he trusted her, but my thing is, I really think the mom is dedicated to killing them, but what I don't believe is the son that's helping her is dedicated to die. Like, I think he's going to betray his mom because he knows what's going on, and I think because Klaus is immortal, he's going to use the binding spell to make them all immortal. That's my thought.
I think you're right. I think that's what's going to happen. I think Olivia's right. My only thing was, it was a good episode, of course. And it's funny because in the first season of Vampire Diaries, it seemed like every other week they would have some kind of ball or dance or hoedown in Mystic Falls. And they haven't done that in a while. And of course, because it's the originals, they're super wealthy and, you know, all the dresses look great and like everyone's dressed the night. And yeah, it was a good episode. My only thing was I guess I felt like it's a great episode, but I'm a little, and I don't ever complain about this about Vampire Diaries, I'm getting a little tired of not knowing who the killer is.
Right. Oh, because we've gone like two episodes and we don't know who the killer is.
Because I'm just like, just tell us already. Because remember, the episode opens with them at the hospital and we're clearly seeing someone evil's point of view. And I'm like, oh, okay, maybe we're going to get to this. And we're not. And I'm like, oh, come on. Like, just tell us already. You know?
So, well, and the thing Vampire Diaries is going to tell you.
Oh, no, they totally will. I guess I was just hoping it would all come together. And my other thing, I liked Rebecca flirting with Matt. Matt's one of my favorite underused characters. And I gotta say, I was a little disappointed that she hooks up with Damon. And I know it's Damon and he's hurt, but I'm just, and he's right, they're both vampires, but I kind of liked that flirt that they had and that he's just a human. And he's just like, you know what, leave me alone. I kind of liked that and everything, you know? So, I don't know.
The thing that I really like is I'm impressed that they managed to make me care about Klaus and Caroline as a couple. Like, I wouldn't have thought I would have liked Klaus with anybody, but they've made Klaus kind of really vulnerable around Caroline in a really interesting way, and she's honest with him in a way that nobody else is, and yes, he takes it, and he kind of appreciates it, and they've made him layered, and I'm kind of cool with that. I like it. So
I agree. I totally agree. I wouldn't have thought I liked it, but I agree. I do think it works.
Definitely. I think, again, it's her honesty and the way that she'll come back and say exactly what she's feeling.
Right. And she just doesn't... to be fair, she's not falling... Like, normally, I guess he's used to women falling all over him because he has money and he's a good-looking guy, but her initial interaction with him was him sending somebody to kill her. So she's not immediately going to fall over herself, you know, to get to him. So he actually has some work to do to get her to even see him. And I think that's twisted, but interesting. And only in the vampire world would this even be plausible. But Vampire Diaries this week is really good. I do feel like I want to know more about the mom and the siblings, like the brothers. Like, we know that we met Cole. There's one brother's Cole and the other brother, I can't remember what his name is. But I feel like we need to get to know them better.
I agree.
Because they're right now, they're just kind of blank faces to me. All right. So, Vampire Diaries?
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
All right. So, next up, let's talk about Person of Interest. And this week's episode was really interesting because we've been talking on the podcast a lot about how Reese is like Batman or he's like whatever. And you have this kid that Reese has to help. And the kid is like, oh, you're a Ronin. And he was like, I would like to hire you. And Reese is like, what are you talking about? He was like, what do you mean I'm a Ronin? He's like, you are a samurai without a master. That means that you're alone. Like, he totally just breaks him down and defines his character in a really kind of funny way, kind of like through the eyes of a child, and it's really interesting. And he does sort of fit exactly what the kid's talking about.
It really does. That was a great scene between the two of them.
Right. And I think he bonded with this kid more than he has with any of his other clients that he's ever helped save or whatever.
And I would definitely agree. You know, and it's funny because the kid, you know, his brother got killed. And so he wants to, you know, sort of come back with them. But the kid did an amazing acting job throughout the whole thing. You know what I mean? And just that, you know, yeah, he does want revenge. But in the end, he doesn't want to become a killer himself, which I really liked.
Right. Well, and that's Reese's lesson. Reese was like, you know, you can get what you want. You can get justice, but you can't kill anybody. And so the kid was like, well, have you killed people? He's like, well, yes. And he was talking about the good and the bad, and he broke it down. He's like, that doesn't mean you have to, too. So they had really good moral conversations. It was great. Just their discussions was the whole episode to me.
Bringing up the art of war, that was great.
Oh, yeah. He was like, he looked at the kid, he was like, you've read Sun Tzu? And the kid was like, of course, who hasn't? That was great.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that was all really pretty good. Like, that kid was a handful, like, more than Reese could really do. Like, he was smart, too. That's the thing that was so great about it. So,
And it's also the neat, I mean, the kid really worked out well, too, because of the other cop. I don't know if I'd say his name right. Fusco, or...
Oh, yeah, he saved his life, right.
Right. You know, but then the interaction, and you see better, like, you see Fusco in a little bit of a better light, you know what I mean? Because at first they made him out to be so dumb and just sort of very one-dimensional. I like that they're adding, like, sort of a little bit of layers to him as well.
I do think that the two cops not knowing that they're both assets for him is going to backfire in a very bad way. But right now it's interesting.
Yes.
All right.
And then also in this episode, we do get to hear more, or we get to see or understand a little bit more about with Finch and the machine. Because how the one guy, his son, who sees Finch as his uncle, the interaction with them in this episode was also really interesting.
Right. Everybody is lying to that kid. I was like, whoa. Like, there people were lying. They were tripping over themselves to lie to him.
Yeah. And who is this woman anyway? You know what I mean? Because I guess she didn't realize that. Well, she didn't realize that Harold was still alive or.
Right. Because as soon as the kid mentioned Harold, she freaked out. She's like, I need to go. I need to go now. I was like, what the heck is that? What does that mean?
Exactly.
And the fact that we find out that Harold is not, because we think that we know the Harold's his real name, but then we find out that that was an alias he used when he got to college. And then we're like, who the heck is this guy?
Exactly.
That's all pretty good. That's pretty
good. Definitely. And whatever happened around the machine and with her when she was still in Washington, now she lives in the one place in the country that doesn't have any cell phone or wireless reception. So you know that she's trying to stay under the radar as much as possible.
It's impressive she managed to find a town that's off the radar like that. That's weird.
Yes.
But normally when people have to do that, they got to go way out in the woods somewhere.
Yeah, and these days, even out in the woods, you know? And so, but I guess there was some kind of reception. I forgot what they said, but there was some kind of reception in this one town that, with the radar or something, that doesn't allow any of those signals to go through.
Yes, I would not be living there, but yes. But thumbs up. The episode was really, it's probably one of the best episodes they've had in a really long time. So, thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
All right, next up, let's talk about Supernatural really quick. And when I say really quick, I mean really quick because I don't think it really warrants a great deal of discussion.
No.
Clowns are scary. The end.
Yes, that's pretty much the moral of the story. And it also is that Sam cannot act well when he's trying to be scared. I was like, really? That's your scared face?
Just and he needs a haircut.
Oh my God, he needs a haircut. He needs to shave off those sideburns, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, those sideburns are really starting to annoy me.
Yes.
Yes, and it's like, come on, Sam. I guess you can wrap up this episode in the line that they said where, you know, we don't know dick about dick.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's where we need to go back to. It's like, okay, yeah, can we get back to dick and not all this other clown stuff? Yeah.
Well, like, we only hear, like, the one side of Dean's conversation, but, like, as I'm listening to it, I'm like, wait, did he just say that Fred Savage is a Leviathan?
Yes, he did. That was hilarious, right? That was pretty funny. Like, yeah. That was great. Yeah, it was very much, they let you know in the first 5 minutes, this is not going to be an ARC episode. This is going to be a standalone episode. And the standalone part is going to be that Sam is afraid of clowns, and I don't care.
Which, at this point, I'm like, okay, you've died, you've been possessed by the devil, you've faced untold horrors, but yet you're still scared, petrified by clowns?
Yeah. Really? Yeah, that just seems, whatever. It was not that great. The Dean stuff I liked, where he's like, I've sworn off all women and children because I'm not going to have that happen again, blah, 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 and I'm going to go see the nanny. And he was like, I thought you swore off hot chicks. He's like, there's no guarantee that she's hot.
And then, of course, well, as soon as he said that, I'm like, okay, she's going to be hot.
Of course she is. Like, that was pretty funny, and Dean wanting to win that slinky was pretty funny.
Yeah. And that was the other thing that, like, bugged me. I'm like, okay, this is a kid's restaurant, and they have one skee ball machine. Like, what kind of cheap place is this?
Exactly. It is obviously a very cheap place, but it was just like it was a time waster. But anyway, like I said, we're not gonna talk about it very long. The end.
Yeah.
All right, next up, let's talk about Fringe, except I think for some reason no one else has caught up. Like, you guys didn't watch this week or something?
I am not caught up for this week. No, I'm sorry.
And I'm way behind.
I just watched the last week's. I watched the Astrid episode, which was awesome last night. Yeah. So I just the other one hadn't aired yet. So
that's as far up as I am. I haven't watched this week's episode. I'm sorry.
Okay, this week's episode was made of awesome in that they make you think you're just dealing with a weird phenomena of the week where there's like all the cars stop on the road, looks like an alien or whatever, but it's really a plane, and the plane falls out of the sky because there's some sort of electromagnetic pulse or whatever. So you're like, oh, they're going to figure it out. Oh, and Walter, not stuck in the lab. He is now out in the field, which is, I was like, thank you. I was like, this is cool.
Oh, nice.
So they've gotten, basically, Olivia observes that him and Peter having a relationship has made Walter become more outgoing and more stable and more, and it's basically the same effect that we saw. It's like a weird season one redux. So that's all pretty good. And then Olivia is having dreams of her other life. So she's remembering the other timeline. So she woke up remembering a conversation in bed that her and Peter had. So she's like, what the heck was that? But then she's also remembering stuff that she did in the other universe that she didn't do in this universe. So Olivia's becoming, and I'm wondering if it's because of the shots that they were giving her. Like, I'm wondering, because she's the only one that this is happening to. So I'm wondering if it has to do with those shots. But at the very end, like, and the whole episode was like, they got to this town, and they couldn't get out of the town, because the bad guy with the scars on his face, he basically merged the town in this universe and the town in the alternate universe to see it blow up. So, because remember, I think way back in season one or two, they had the two globes, the two snow globes. They said the two worlds, if they ever collided, it would basically destroy both planets. So, this guy, on a small scale, wanted to see a demonstration. And so, he basically has that happen. But once you get trapped within the field, you can't leave. So, Olivia and Peter and Walter get stuck in the town. They got to figure out some kind of way to survive. That's all pretty good. But the biggest thing is at the end, Olivia gets confused between which universe she's in. Like, Peter comes over to see her, and she's, like, expecting him. And he's like, why are you expecting... Like, it was weird that she was expecting him. And she's got, like, dinner all laid out and wine. And he was like, why are you expecting me? And she was like, oh, it's Friday nights. We always do whatever restaurant they do. And he's just like looking at her like, what? And then she grabs him and kisses him. And he's like, what? Oh. He's like, what is going on? And then that's the end of the episode. So
interesting.
Yeah, it's all pretty good. Like, she is whatever Olivia we want to call the Olivia from this timeline and the real Olivia, because we didn't make up a name for this one, they're merging into the same person. So yeah. I was like, ooh, we're going to get our Olivia back. Great.
Yeah.
That was the episode. It was a good, really good episode. Cool. Thumbs up. So,
well, I will watch it.
Yeah, and it's really, they're getting all the relationships kind of back to where we're used to. Too. So it's that all works out.
I'm kind of happy and unhappy about that because I really like the dynamic of this world without Peter and how it reacts to Peter suddenly being in it.
Well, that was good for a while, but then you have to do something. You know?
I don't know. I sort of was hoping that they would go like they did with Eureka, where they just created an alternate timeline and then just kept it.
Well, Eureka did it, but it was good because the new alternate universe was actually pretty cool. I don't think that this universe is cooler than the last one. So,
well, it's not a matter of being like cooler, but it is like it's different. And I feel like there's enough going on in this universe for them to be like, you know what, let's just keep it here and just keep running with this Peterless world now with a Peter in it.
Yeah, I didn't like it. It was actually irritating me. So I'm glad that they're doing something. But okay. Next up, let's talk about Spartacus. So we're on episode 3 of Spartacus. You're watching it, right, Josh?
I am watching it. I'm trying to remember what happened this week. I'm pretty sure I watched this week's episode.
This week's one, they go after Navia in the mines. And they, Animaeus gets captured by Asher and those guys, and he gets tortured.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't watch this one.
Oh, come on. Really? I'm the only one. Alright, so this week's episode of Spartacus was actually, it broke my heart a little bit with Animaeus because they revealed the big secret that Animaeus didn't know, which was that his best friend Bannicus and his wife had been having an affair. Like, he never knew that. He suspected something was weird about how she got poisoned, but it never occurred to him that they were sleeping together. And they just basically just, because he was not breaking. They were torturing the crap out of him to find out where Spartacus was. They were beating him and starving him and doing all kinds of stuff to him, and he wouldn't talk. And then they tell him this information, and he gets so upset that he can't help himself but to talk. But he's not trying to give up Spartacus. He's just really angry. But some information that kind of spews out as he's yelling or talking tells them where Spartacus is, which is bad. And I have to give them credit. They had me going, like, there's this moment at the end where Spartacus and the crew are trapped in the mines and the Roman soldiers are coming in. And I was like, what the heck are they going to do? And they're unarmed because they're pretending to be slaves. So they don't have weapons. And they are totally screwed. I was like, what the heck? And the end is really, really, because you haven't seen the end, I will not spoil the end for you, but the end is really, it's really good because you're just like, what the heck? But it's, cool. Yeah, it all comes together and it's a really good episode. But it did feel, I was going to say it felt like filler except for the end. Like, once you get to the end, it doesn't feel like filler at all.
Okay.
And because of this, I feel like we're going to have the return of Gannicus. We're going to have to. Because Animaeus is like, I got, you know, that's something to be addressed.
I've always known, and like, there's been nothing to say this in any official news that I've heard, but I've always just had this feeling Gannicus is going to have to come back into this.
Well, now that they've done this big reveal, yes, you have to have the confrontation. Now that Animaeus knows that this dude slept with his wife, you have to have the two of them in a room now.
Yeah.
So, thumbs up, really good episode. Cannot wait for the next one. And so all right. that wraps up this week's discussion. But I want to remind everybody that the 100th episode is next week. And and I asked for some feedback for the 100th episode, and I got some feedback for the 100th episode, which I'll be talking in that episode, but also people gave me some feedback about the last couple of podcasts too. So I figured this will be our mail. Mailbag.
Mailbag.
This will be our mailbag section real quick. I want to talk about Sam sent in some feedback about the last couple of things we talked about. And one thing he was saying is, one, like me, he is enjoying House of Lies. He said he did think that it got a bunch of harsh reviews from people, especially people who watched 4 or 5 episodes in a row, and he thinks that it works better if you watch them week to week. And he also said that the freezing doesn't bother him as much, but he could see why it would get annoying if you watch it all at once. Comments on last week's Fringe, when he's talking about the interaction of the two worlds, says it leads me to say that we need more of that. I'm guessing it costs more to do that, but it's more interesting when you have a full Olivia there and she's interacting with the Walter and teasing him. And he's like, I need more of that.
I agree, but I always thought last week's the best part was the two Astrids.
Yes, yes. Oh, and we talked in the podcast about Raj talking in front of the girls in last week's Big Bang. And Sam said that if you go back and watch, Raj is holding a beer. You can see that he's drinking a beer in that scene. So our protests were for naught. And then for the 200th episode of NCIS, he was really hoping that we talk about it, which is why I wanted to make sure we did. One thing he said, which I noticed and it bothered the heck out of me, is that because they were trying to include so many returning characters in the 200th episode, there was a couple of things that were weird. And Sam was talking about the fact that the Kate that we saw was very obviously from another episode that they just CGI'd in, and which was really, really bizarre. It was because you could tell it was from an episode that you've seen before. It was so weird. Also, Jenny, they used a still of her and CGI'd her into the scene as well. And I was like, that's so... Like, just don't use them if you can't get the actors, you know? He also said that it would have been more interesting if Gibbs had gotten to talk to Ari, but instead, Ari ends up playing chess with Vance, which was strange. So Sam gave us some really good feedback. I'm glad he wrote in. I don't want to read the whole thing because some of these messages are long, but cool. I appreciate it. Bring it in. Keep coming in. The next person is Brian, and he says that even though I was really upset about Once Upon a Time last week, he says, I still like Once Upon a Time and enjoyed the Mr. Glass story, although I did miss, as you pointed out, that Emma didn't use her superpowers. I guess that's a good thing I missed it, or else I would not have enjoyed the episode. And he says that he's sad that he's not caught up on Justified like the rest of us. And he's going to work on that. The rest of the comments are for the 100th episode, which I will be holding for next week. And if you guys want your feedback to be read on the 100th episode, please send it in to tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, and we're on Facebook. And remember, you can find our podcast on Stitcher.com, GetThePointRadio.com, and KryptonRadio.com. So, I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.